my friends sang the first song, that how God gave us everything in his Son Jesus Christ, I felt that he was saying that I should say how I came to know him. I had been working in children's homes, and a lad then ran away to the Isle of Wight, and I always felt responsible for that, and I really didn't know what to do about it. But some of the lads, and every Sunday we had to go to the Anglican church, which really didn't speak much to me. I had grown up in a Christian home, and I decided to give up working for children's homes, and I was at home with my parents for about 9 months, I suppose, and during that time I was pretty miserable. And one day they went to show the slides of America to some disabled brownies, and asked me to go with them to help. But because I felt so miserable, I felt I had nothing to give. So I stayed at home and pruned some very old standard roses, which were very tough and had huge thorns. And I pricked myself, and I saw these drops of blood, and I realized that Jesus had shed his blood for me. And I said, Lord Jesus, you've done so much for me, what can I do for you? And I suppose from then on it was a case of learning what God wanted me to do, until I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I realized I just had to relax in God.
Amen. I love that, Anne. God takes us at our own speed. We just have to relax and trust him to lead us and call us ever onward and upward at the speed that we're prepared to go. It's fantastic. I love the way he spoke to you through those rose bushes and your drops of blood. And just a little testimony for myself. I prayed for a guy a few years ago who had a healing when I prayed for him, and he was amazed and really wanted to, said he was going to come and share a testimony, but he never did. But he came back to me and with something else to be praying into, and I said to him, well, the only answer is really is to do what you did, Anne, and to accept Jesus into his life. You know, because we talked about the different ways he could tackle his problem, and I said, you've already said you don't want to do the other two. This way, I guarantee you that Jesus will bring peace to you and solve this issue for you. Which sounds a brave thing to do, but I can only say that because that's the kind of thing he loves to do. And so I sent him away with a Bible. Matt, where's Matt? Sometimes it is good to give someone a Bible. It makes no sense. But he said he would read it. And the thing is, he phoned me back a week or so ago and just said, you know, you'd be proud of me, so I'm doing really well. Whenever I struggle with that issue that I'm struggling with, I pick up the Bible that you gave me and read a bit, a paragraph. He said, I don't understand a word of it. He said, but the thing is, it helps me, and I overcome. I don't do the thing that I was doing. Isn't that fantastic? God's grace, you see, is amazing. And this guy doesn't know him, but yet God healed him. And now God is helping him overcome an issue. This is the grace of our God. If we just receive it again and again. That song you sang, you know, it's grace that's taught my heart to fear. It's grace my fears relieved. Fantastic. Come on. Wonderful stories. I understand that. Rachel, you have a story to tell us. You going to come up and share it? Come on, let's give her a hand. It's great to have the Edge guys in with us this morning. Thank you. We love you guys.
I don't know if many of you know this, but when I was at secondary school, I didn't really have many friends. And those I did didn't really like me, but more kind of tolerated me being around them. And others outright hated me because I was different. And even though I knew that God and my family loved me, being around people that reminded me almost daily of the opposite really changed how I saw everything. I even carried this to church. I thought that all my friends were only pretending they liked me because that's what all my other friends did. And Christians were just better at it because they were supposed to love everyone. But it didn't really mean they liked me. But then at Soul Survivor last summer, on the Tuesday, something in me just broke. I don't really know how to describe that. And I could suddenly see things like they were. And I must have cried for nearly an hour. And then again later, just because God washed away all those lies that others and even me kept telling myself. And now I'm at Henley College and I can name so many more friends now. And I believe they do actually like me. And with believing that others liked me, it became so much easier to love myself. And when I look back, I have to laugh because I'm just so happy now and so full of love. I can't help but just love all my friends as well. So I'm just so grateful to God for helping me see. And I'd really like to pray for anyone at the end experiencing anything similar.
Hey, Rachel, don't go away. Because, you know, when we hear these stories, you know, this is a fantastic story. It's a lovely story. But the truth is, we all struggle with those things. You know, people saying things over us, which are lies, but actually they somehow get a hold on us sometimes. We allow them too much space. And the enemy sometimes comes in with thoughts which also which cause us to believe stuff we know is wrong, but we carry it. So I'm just going to ask us to be brave this morning. If we know that actually, this, as Rachel shared that story, there was something actually said, yeah, I've believed a lie, or actually there's something that someone said to me, I've believed, I've carried it, I don't want to carry it anymore. If you know that's true, why don't you stand out? Rachel will pray for you. We'll just break it off in the name of Jesus. It's time to put these things down. Go on, definitely be brave. You know, that's it. Well done. Well done.
Well, I just want to thank and praise God for an amazing day yesterday. When we went out on prayer of the streets, we had an amazing response, especially when we were praying for the young people's business initiatives. That was great. We really felt we were making contact. It was brilliant. And then in the evening, I had a double dose, because in the evening we did Street Angels, and again the opportunities were absolutely amazing to help people and to show the love of Jesus to people. And the icing on the cake was that just as I was going back to the car, a guy stopped me and said, can you help me to drink less? He said, I know I need help. I know I drink too much. And I said, well, I can't. I'm no expert. But Jesus is. And he was quite keen for me to pray for him. And yeah, that was really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Okay. Rachel's just going to pray over those people that stood, okay? And it's really important that we just break off lies that the enemy's spoken over us.
Thank you, Jesus. Dear God, I just want to thank you for everyone in this room. And thank you that we're all your children.
Yeah.
And you are the truth, and you love us unconditionally. And please help us just not to believe all the lies that the enemy will throw at us, because they're not going to stop. And just please give us the strength and just the insight to see that those things aren't true. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And when we were praying at the meeting just before the service, you know, we had a picture of God raising us to higher places, giving us a new perspective. And I think that's part of what he wants to do this morning. Some of us actually give us a new perspective on the stuff that we face. So that's great. Thanks, Rach. Angela, come on.
That's so funny. God is so clever, isn't he? Yeah, he's quite bright, that one. So when I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking, God, what can I bring? Because you are so good and you do such amazing things for me. What do you want me to bring? And actually, over the last few weeks, he's been talking to me about identity and just getting me to look where I was 10 years ago, even 2 years ago, and actually going, look how far you've come. And that's through prayer and inner healing. And I've got to recommend Sozo to you guys. Honestly, I have received so much healing through Sozo and that kind of prayer ministry. And I'm so much more close to the Father than I used to be. And I understand him so much more now. And he's been able to talk to me about who I am. And I'm in a place where I can agree with him and say, yeah, I am. And so a few weeks ago, I wrote this. I just wanted to read it in case it resonates with somebody, but just to share also my journey. So I was 18 when I was asked if I was a lesbian. I said, no, actually, I've always preferred men. Why? Just because my hair is short and I'm in love with my Doc Marten boots. Does it automatically mean that I'm gay? Yes, my hair is short, because I like it that way. And confidently I declare that their opinion doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me, I say, it bothers me. That a girl can't express their individualness without having to confess to a mind without finesse that she's somehow wrong. That this style does not belong to her. That the query of the mindless drone must make her something else. Somehow an oddity, strange, dysfunctional, out of sync. That somehow she must live up to their stereotype or, well, leave them disappointed. One man who doesn't know his elbow from his ask me no questions and I'll tell you a truth anyway. I discovered myself, and I was happy with that. But inquiring minds made me wonder, is it okay? They were laughing at my comfortableness with myself. I never questioned my choices. My questions came from without myself. Why? Why would I ever listen to them? So I lost myself again to the onslaught of normal, to make it easier for everyone else to swallow, deny my expression of who I felt I was to placate and surrender to the polyester and the pastel that formed a binding that was far greater than anything anyone else had ever made for me. Because the truth is, they never insisted that I change. No demand was ever made. I succumbed on my own because it was easier. So my hair grew and my world turned plaid. Grey and pink prevailed. Now, I've no problem with these things. They just weren't me. But God is good. He knew what he'd created. He watched me with patience, and he never debated my decisions. He just waited. And with love looked on at my journey, he knew it wouldn't be long before real me strutted to take center stage. To celebrate and reward me for being so brave. Because the truth is, it's easier to stay in the shade, never being noticed or having the chance to be ridiculed. But being myself is the only way to be saved. Saved from self-doubting. Saved from self-hate. Saved from drearily deliberating what craving to sate. Because now I am fulfilling all these needs and wants to be me. Because I'm turning into who I was always meant to be. And that makes me so much more joyous, so filled up inside, so much better than pretending to be someone I'm not, and then having pretend me have to hide. Because I know I'm beautiful. And yes, I see what you see. There's probably more me here than I wish there would be. I know I have faults. I can count more than you. But I know I'm the person I'm supposed to be too. I know I am beauty from each hug that I give, to each greeting that greets me, and each step that I live. He trusts me to step these life steps with pride and with strength. He's stepping beside me every stride, every length. And each step he takes seems to bring us to a place where my pace begins to match his gait, and he's matching my pace. So the beauty I see as I look in his eyes is the beauty in me that I see through his eyes. So I know that I'm beautiful, wonderful still, because he sees it in me, and he always will.
What a wonderful poem. Absolutely amazing. Packed full of truth. Oh, come on down. Ah, I'm going to start weeping in a minute. It's absolutely amazing and so true. You're beautiful. Thank you, Jesus.
I have to connect with Rosalia, my sister, because she wants to also hear this and she wants to speak to you. So please bear with us. Hope that the battery is enough.
Okay, it's not me.
Viola.
Hello, lovely and beautiful family in UK. You can.
Well, we want to share a huge testimony. You know that my father, sorry, 1 year ago, they found out that he had a brain tumor. And it was very difficult because we have to move him to a nursing home because he was literally abandoned by his second wife and my half-brother and half-sister. And that was a very difficult decision for us because in Mexico, you don't do that. And there is not that common, but we had to. Then I went to see him last September. He was supposed to be operated, and he was in the hospital, and for any or other reason, they always sent him back saying, oh, no, we don't have a bed, or a doctor who said, no, I need more studies, this is not enough, blah, blah, blah. So I went last September, I stayed there for a long time. I took him to see more doctors, and everything were just bad news and bad news. Because he was losing his sight, the tumor was growing, and the doctor said, I'll give you another date for the operation on the 21st of January, because before you will get, he will need to get more studies, more doctors, the cardiologists, the endocrinologists, everything, you name it. It's been just doctors and studies and studies. So last Wednesday was the 21st when we were supposed to be operated, and he had the appointment with a neurologist. So my sister took him with all the results, all the tests, everything. And he said, no, I'm not going to operate your dad. And my sister was, oh, no, again, there's no space. Or what is happening now? And he showed him the two brain scans, the first one that he got and the new one, the most recent one, saying, look, the tumor is shrinking without a treatment. I have to tell you that he's never had. He doesn't need a. The tumor is shrinking, and on top of everything, it's not obstructing his optic nerve, so he's not going to lose his sight. And imagine what a testimony for us. When I was in Mexico, and I left the day I left, I really didn't want to come back. It's been really very hard for me in the last months. Sorry. But my sisters and I prayed for him. We laid our hands. And we said, please, Jesus, be merciful with my dad.
And he did it, and I just don't have words to. Do you want to say something?
Yes. Yes.
Is
that Tuku? Because here is. It's 6 o'clock, and I wake up at 4:30 because I'm so excited to share with you, because I really miss my family, my UK River Church family. I really love you. Yes, I have been past almost two years here in Kansas. It's a beautiful city, but we start with the situation for my father. But thanks, River, he gave me the intercessors, the family, the sisters, the strength, the love, learning that Jesus is with us, and Alejandra in UK, I in Kansas. And we didn't really have time to go to see my father. But he says, you stay here because you are praying for all the situation. Mm-hmm. And I have been learning very hard here alone at home, but with the support of you guys, all my River Beautiful family, my new home here, Vineyard Church, that he has been also a beautiful church for me, and Jesus all the time with us. And God is a God of restoration.
Yes, amen.
He started to give us restoration, not only with Alejandra and me in our lives, sino also in the lives of my other sisters, that all of them start to be part of that situation and honor my father and honor my family, my father and my mother. And my mother, that she's divorced, she start also support us all the time. And my father asked her forgiveness. And my mother is with us, and she says, I can't believe how my four sister reaction for support your father with all love. And mom, it's God that give us that strength, that grace, that love all the time.
Internet.
So
yes.
Okay.
And continue. Yes.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Oh, my word. Fantastic.
Thank you for everybody who have prayed for that.
What a wonderful story. It's a fantastic story. Again, you know, our God is amazing, isn't he? Just when we invite him into these situations, he sees the desperation and just loves to hear and answer prayers. Thank you. Bless you, guys. Bless you. It's a good story. Good story. Oh, my word. What a fantastic story. Great to see Rosalia too. To hear her. Yeah, and quickly before we move on, Angela mentioned Sozo, and some people might not know what Sozo is. Sozo is really it is a kind of encounter ministry. It's where you book an appointment with the Sozo team, and two of them will just take you through an encounter with the God who loves you. And it sounds a bit scary, but they'll lead you through and in a very gentle way, and you will have God speak to you. So if you are facing stuff that you need God to speak into, Sozo is a fantastic ministry to book an appointment from our website and go and experience an encounter with Jesus. I recommend it. I was trained on it over in the States. Comes from Bethel. So, it's good. Julian, did you want to share something?
So first of all, Anne, thank you for listening to God when you pricked your finger, because Annie and I were the beneficiaries of Peter and Anne doing what God wants them to do. And when we first got married, we lived with them for two amazing years in a place that they provided for us. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to honour you and say, you know, when we do things, that when God speaks to us, there's a consequence to those things which sometimes are much bigger and greater than we ever imagine. So thank you, Peter and Anne, for what you did for Annie and I.
Yeah.
Last April, I stood here and I shared a little bit about fatherhood and about generations standing on our shoulders and going further and faster than we've ever gone before. About 2 weeks after that, my son Samuel was diagnosed with a brain tumour about the size of a golf ball in his head, had a seizure when he was playing football and collapsed. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's played football twice. He's had his operation. The tumour has been removed. He's got another scan coming up in February when they check to see if there's any nasty bits left, but the prognosis is all pretty good. But we just need to continue to contend for lots of this stuff. And that's really what I wanted to say this morning, that there's a contention that we have to undertake for so many things, not just in our own lives, but for other people's lives as well. And just finally, just to say, there's a town in northern Mozambique that for the last 3 weeks hasn't had any electrical water, nor has most of the rest of northern Mozambique. No running water, no electric. And we've got a team there at the moment sort of doing stuff and ministering to a community that we lived in 2008-09. The numbers of followers of Jesus in that community has pretty much doubled since we left there, so there are now about 9,000 followers of Jesus in a Muslim community. And isn't God good? During this next week, the community centre that community dreamed for, there's a Portuguese contractor, father and son contractor, using local labour, which I'm really excited about, to start the foundations for the building, and we're getting underway. So it's just a really, really key time. And it's interesting, the whole contending thing, because it's a really difficult time in Angoche at the moment to do anything. It's about 40 degrees centigrade, not an easy place to be. And the other bit of great news is that we've just got the approval to continue with the marriage course material that Ruben and Anna helped us translate. So I can now send that to Mozambique when the electric comes back on in that city to get printed, and we can begin to roll that out. And I wanted to say thank you so much as an update to all of you, because that Muslim community is being transformed by the love of Jesus and what people are doing all over the world, including you guys. So thank you so much.
Hold on. Oh, that's good. That's fantastic. Yeah. It'd be good just to pray into that again, you know, to pray for Mozambique. Lord Jesus, just thank you for what you're doing out there. It makes our hearts sing to hear of your word, the word of your love in Jesus, reaching the hearts of those Muslims, Father, there. And, thank you. Thank you for the love that's breaking out there. And just want to pray a blessing upon them again today in the fights that they have, that they would overcome, that your spirit would be poured out liberally there, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what Julian's doing. Bless the work there, Lord God. Bless the marriage course. Let it strengthen marriages and homes. Yeah. Bless the projects they've started, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Amen. And as Julian was just sharing about, you know, we've got to contend for some stuff, I just felt like actually there may be some people here who feel like they're contending for stuff at the moment. I just want Julian to pray for you. So if you want to stick your hand up, if you're contending for something and you feel like there's a fight for it. Okay, there's one person, there's a couple, there's three, there's a few, oh, there's a lot. Pray.
Father, I want to pray for all of us who are contending for stuff that we find the place of peace, and that we find it not only in our hearts, but also in our minds. And I pray, Father God, for those things which we are contending for, that you know that you've put on our hearts, that we know our truth, that we know our light, that we know our goodness. Father God, I just want to call those things into being, and I pray, Father God, that the journey to those things would be shorter than we imagine. Yeah. And I pray, Father God, when the journey that we go on goes a bit awry and it doesn't go in quite the direction that we hoped it would, Father, I pray that you would meet us in that every step of the way and help us, Father God, to connect with you and walk with you through all of that. Thank you, Father God, that your son is such a great example of a contender who, through his contention, won us life. And, Father, we want to walk in his footsteps. Amen.
I just felt a promise for some of those guys that were just contending, that the Father says, I am the God who does immeasurably more above and beyond what you can ask or imagine. So just what you've been thinking about, the possible outcomes you can see. God's going to do more than you can think. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, are you keen to share something with us, Sarah? Come on.
I seemed keen and now I'm nervous. I just wanted to share how excited I am actually about everything that's been sort of said at the moment and how much it resonates. You have to bear with me, I've now got sweaty palms and a beating heart. I'm not actually normally nervous about standing up in front of people, but usually when I share personal things, it usually happens. But the words that have come out are like restoration, transformation, identity. These are all things that I've been struggling with forever, I think is probably the honest truth to that. And going on the back of, you know, Angela's poem and what she said about Sozo, it's like I know that I would not have been able to have come as far as I have without any of those, like, without having my Sozos done, and especially there would have been no restoration with my in-laws as what there is now, because I went through a very trying time after having my first son where I went a little bit psycho and decided that I could do absolutely everything by myself and I didn't need help, and I couldn't be more wrong. And I had a real control issue. And that was something that came up in my Sozo. And it was terrifying because that's not why I went to my Sozo. And I was like, oh, what are you saying? I've got control issues. Don't be so ridiculous. You know? And then it's like, you know, you start to reveal things slowly and gently. And I was like, oh, yeah, look at that. So over time, I've learned to not have so much control and hand it over to God. And over these last couple of years, I can see my relationship has come on leaps and bounds with my in-laws, which is fantastic, because I actually blamed them. Of course, it was always their fault. It was nothing to do with me. And I realized, actually, I was the one in the wrong, and it was pretty much my fault. They had done nothing wrong. They hadn't changed. I had. So that was really amazing. And the other thing I wanted to say was, like, has everyone here ever been told to keep a journal? Right? You're a diary of your life as you go through. Yeah. Do you do that? Because I don't. And you know when you think, really should, you know? Because it's these types of moments where I'm like, I have to sit and think and look back and go like, oh my gosh. Yeah, look at what you've done. Look at where I've come from. You know, like Christmas time this year, I stopped and I looked back at where I was that time the year previously. And I couldn't be more different. For those of you that don't know, I was diagnosed with postnatal depression in January last year, and it was actually a blessing. Most people probably wouldn't necessarily relate that. But for me, I felt great about the fact that somebody could actually say, yeah, this is actually what's wrong, and we can deal with that, rather than thinking I was going completely crazy, and I didn't love my children, I didn't love my husband, I didn't want to stay within them anymore, I just wanted to run away from everybody and everything and hide. And I kind of thought, well, that's not healthy. And so, you know, I went to the doctors and that was that. And so I thought, brilliant. It means we can actually start sorting it out, you know. And I've had lots of support from friends who, have been amazing. The church have been amazing. My husband is phenomenal. For those who don't know who I'm married to, it's Ben Wells, who's out the back with our kid. Right out the back. He's out in the canteen. But without the support and the love of my friends and family, and my husband is seriously incredible, I don't know, I probably would have left, and then history would have repeated, and then that's not where I wanted to be. But also, of the time where I was diagnosed, Ben was also made redundant. So everyone could be like, oh my gosh, it's all being thrown at you all at once. And I, again, immediately saw it as a blessing, which, again, it was not where my train of thought was at, you know, but I was like, this is fantastic, in a way. Ben didn't like the job he was in, to be honest with you, and I really needed him at home, you know, because I was struggling with the postnatal depression. I needed him to help me out with the kids, and so God went, sure, he can stay at home until you're better enough to get back onto the right path. And it took 3 months. It's not a long time, you know, for Ben to find a job and for me to be back in place where I was in a comfortable position, where I was coping, but not coping, you know, better than I was. And although, you know, I'm still on medication, I'm still having to do certain things, and it's still a journey, and I'm not 100%, but I am so much better than where I was before. I actually like my children, and I like other people's children, which is a blessing, you know? And I like people again, which is nice, and I feel happy again, which is really good, you know? So I just praise God for everything that he is doing, because I can now see clearer as well, and where my triggers are and stuff. And it's just been an amazing, incredible journey. And although you still have your downs, you just know that he's always going to be there to pick you up. That's it, really.
Come on. Woo! Woo! Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Come on. Oh, come on. Oh, they're queuing up. Mark, he's stuck in, I'm afraid, you know.
We needed more man voice. Need man voices. For those of you, nothing. It's all fine. For those of you who don't know, my name is Mark, and I'm married to Ruth over there. Hello. Yeah, good. And that's how we communicate these days. Just across the rooms. I wanted to just recognise God's goodness in giving us a house. It's been an amazing, amazing thing. We never thought we'd be able to afford a house. We never thought it would be something we could do. What Matt was saying earlier on with the children's slots, guys, listen to the children's slots, because you'll probably learn more. Oh, well, no, I'm going to say that. Oh, headbutt. What Matt was saying, you know, there's some fantastic stuff in what he was saying. That we want to thank God, because God is the guy that has orchestrated us being able to have a house. But he has used our family in River to do that. And there are some people who specifically have gone out of their way. Not only have they helped us and supported us, but they have put their reputations on the line for us so that we could have a house. And there's something about us being a family together where we contend for one another. We take each other and say, how can we help you? And actually, do you know what? Although it's not the lightning bolt that Matt was talking about, you know, it's not the throwing the Bible to the people that are drowning and waving. It's throwing the life belt. It's running in. It's jumping in ourselves. And there is. I want to recognize the family that we are. And I'm not going to name all the people that are involved, but they know who they are. They have been a fantastic help to us. And I want to encourage you. Who can you do that for? Because it has meant the world to Ruth and I. It really has. Who can you do that for? Whose hand can you grab? Who can you listen to God for? Peter and Anne, what you did for Julian and Annie. It's just one of so many stories that go unheard. And then all of a sudden you discover, you know, we put our lives on the line for somebody else. We did this for somebody else. And it's actually, it's being obedient to God. But before you can be obedient to him, you kind of have to say, all right then, who and how? And I just really encourage you to then take those steps, because it is an incredible blessing. It's not always the magic of, if you want to use that phrase, which you probably don't. hey, got my wand. Zap. Anyway, I'll probably stop talking now.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. You guys are an amazing family to be part of. It's amazing. It's a privilege to be part of this group of people. And it's fantastic to lead it too. We have two more people that want to share. I'm well aware that we run out of time. So if you want to go and get your kids, please feel free. But I also want to honour these two and just give them a chance to share. But feel free, if you need to go, please do. Let's listen to...
Hi, thank you for being who you are, because I don't know whether some of you know, I work as a support worker, and last year I took them, some of them, to Larchfield towards the end, and after that, the fate thing, and after that, they kept on at me about sort of coming along to something or whatever, and so I brought them to the Christmas story, and they really loved it. And we had some people really spoke to them at the end, and they were really happy about that. And they go on about it all the time. Since then, two of them have asked for prayer for people, and well, you can't really initiate it. They have to initiate it. And one of them wrote a Christmas card to the church on her totally her own initiative, which is lovely. I gave to Kerry last week, so I hadn't seen Kerry. And then they're still wanting to come to something else. So I really thank you for being, you know, a testimony to them. And they're really sort of thinking about the Lord, really, which is good.
Bless you, Joanna. Bless you. You are the light of the world. The Lord honours you in the way you love and care for those people, that he will reach into their lives through your love.
Hi.
Hi.
Nearly got away with it. It's too good not to share. And if I'm honest, I haven't felt able to stand up and speak to you as our extended family about this situation, but I really felt challenged this week that now was the time that God wanted me to share the good news so far. So as many of you know, last April, our youngest child, who was 15 at the time, was involved in a very serious high-speed RTA. As a result of that, he ended up in John Ratcliffe Hospital, broken from head to toe, literally, on life support. This was no doubt one of my worst nightmares, one of his father's worst nightmares. But I just want to go back a couple of months. We had noticed, as a very close family, which we are, some real challenges with George. He's a big, big lad, very strong, and he was becoming very angry, very challenging. He was pushing boundaries left, right and centre, way further than what we were prepared to allow him to do, and we were really concerned about this. As parents, the only option we really had was to pray, and that's what we had been doing. And God had, or the Holy Spirit had, really stirred me in my gut, and I had a very unsettling feeling, which as a parent, don't ever ignore, because the Holy Spirit will do that for a reason. And I really felt very clearly that God was saying to me, you need to pray for George all day, throughout the day, protection, because he is putting himself in situations that are out of my, you know, I can't control. He's putting himself in dangerous situations. And I spoke to a couple of very dear friends about this, and I said, oh, I'm not sure, you know. A couple of people said, do not speak this over him, blah, blah. I said, I am absolutely not speaking this over him. I feel that God is telling me that is my duty and that is my responsibility and that's what I have to do. So that's what I decided to do. So 2 weeks before the accident, I had been praying every day, whenever God prompted me, protection, speaking out in tongues at work, whenever I, you know, felt the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 weeks after, we got the knock at the door from the road traffic police. To cut a very long story short, because it's, I'm sure I'll write a book about it one day. I knew, as hard and as painful and as fearful as the whole situation seemed to be, that God wasn't going to take George from us. I just knew that, and I had a real peace. And we obviously went to our extended family, you guys, for prayer, and were absolutely overwhelmed at how big our family in Christ actually is. George was being prayed for in America, New Zealand, Australia. It went viral. You know, the internet, emails, fantastic. But the heart that behind it is even better. And he was being prayed for everywhere, and we had prophecy over him, and we had, you know, words spoken over him. And God never, ever, ever lets us down. And there was a couple of things when he was in the coma where he really revealed himself to me, all the time to Stephen and I. But there was one occasion where he had so many lines going in every single vein that he could, and some blood pressure medication was accidentally administered, and it shouldn't have been. And it sent his heart rate through the roof, and there was panic, sheer panic, and all the curtains were drawn, and the nurses were all running around, and everyone was all red and flustered, and it was like, oh my days, what's going on, what's going on? They had to shut the machines down to allow his heart rate to come down, and then there was this big panic that it was going to have damaged his heart. So they were trying to get x-rays to reveal whether that the heart had been damaged, and again, all I could do was sit at his bedside and pray in tongues and just lay hands on him. And when they finally got a picture of his heartbeat, I looked across in the screen, and I very clearly, if I could have it tattooed on me, I would, saw Jesus on his hands and knees, hand resuscitating George's heart. So I saw the back of his head and his back, and he was doing this. And I said to my husband, can you see that? He said, see what? I said, he's going to be okay. I said, God's hand resuscitating his heart as we speak. And his heart rate came down, and there's been no permanent damage with his heart, and it's been great. Just to confirm that, though, at Riverfest weekend, I was chatting to someone from Marlow congregation who was asking all the questions, who actually said, on that day, at that time, he broke down into tears because he said God had specifically asked him and told him to pray about hand resuscitating, massaging his heart. You know, these to me are not coincidences. God has got his hand on George's life. And our biggest prayer for George was that God would meet with him and touch him in a way that he wouldn't even understand. And what we've seen in George since he's come home is that he is absolutely adorable. His heart has been transformed. He is a man of God without even realizing what he speaks, his whole perception of life, of situations, his value on himself and his life is just completely different. And every day that I see him and I see his little smile with all his missing teeth, it's just such a blessing. And it excites me that God has a massive plan for him, and we get real peace. And I just want to say thank you to all of you for your prayers, for your support. They have been answered. And there's so many other areas, but we haven't got time to talk about it. But, you know, just thank you, because God is just amazing. And I would just like to say to all of you parents, if you've got concerns and there's worries, generally act on it and pray, because that is the Holy Spirit definitely prompting you. And, you know, there is nothing too great for God. And we can be, that's our role as parents. So, yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful story. Beautiful story. Oh, Lord Jesus. What the enemy intends for harm, God is able to turn around and bring great blessing out of. Did it for George. He did it for my brother, who had a motorcycle accident, nearly killed him, became a Christian as a result. Does it again and again. He's a master at it. What a morning, guys, eh? I hope you've been encouraged by all the testimonies and all the stories. And if there's some that you want to grab hold of for yourself, then do that right now. But just can we just give the Lord a big clap and a big cheer for what he's been doing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're amazing. Thank you for your grace, for your gentleness, for your strength, for your healing, for the revelation of your love you keep pouring into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us to overcome. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we are all more than conquerors because you love us. And that love will see us through. Amen. Bless you guys. Love you lots. Go in peace. Go in joy. Go in love. Go in hope. Be lights. You are the light of the world. Minister that to others. And know that God is with you. Amen.